Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We are beginning in verse 12 because we looked at the previous verses previously. So John chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, this is God's word. Jesus spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." "Even if I testify about myself," Jesus replied, "my testimony is true, because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You know neither me nor my Father," Jesus answered. "If you knew me, you would also know my Father." He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Then he said to them again, "I'm going away. You will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." So the Jews said again, "He won't kill himself, will he? Since he says, 'Where I'm going, you cannot come.'" "You are from below," he told them. "I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." "Who are you?" they questioned. "Exactly what I've been telling you from the very beginning," Jesus told them. "I have many things to say and to judge about you, but the one who sent me is true, and what I have heard from him, these things I tell the world." They did not know what he was speaking to them. They did not know he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but just as the Father taught me, I say these things. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are descendants of Abraham," they answered him, "and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus responded, "Truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no place among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father. So then, You do what you have heard from your father." "Our father is Abraham," they replied. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus told them, "you would do what Abraham did. But now you're trying to kill me, a man who's told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You're doing what your father does." "We weren't born of sexual immorality," they said. "We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you are not from God." The Jews responded to him, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon?" "I do not have a demon," Jesus answered. "On the contrary, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it and judges. Truly, I tell you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Then the Jews said, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you claim to be?" "If I glorify myself," Jesus answered, "my glory is nothing. My Father, about whom you say he is our God, he is the one who glorifies me. You do not know him, but I know him. If I were to say I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews replied, "You aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The question that is dealt with in this passage is the question that runs all through the Gospel of John. Who is this Jesus? Who is he? John begins his gospel by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and lived among us." He wants us to know from the very start that this Jesus, who he's introducing us to in this gospel, is God become man. And at the end of his gospel, he says there are so many other things that Jesus did that if they were all written down, the world couldn't contain the books. But these things have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life in his name. The whole purpose of John's gospel is to introduce people to Jesus. But when Jesus was living among us here on earth, people who met him generally didn't get it. So in this conversation, we see an escalation of tensions that were already high. Remember, people were already talking about killing Jesus because he made the religious establishment so angry. not just with the things he said, but with the things he did. He went around healing people, even on the Sabbath. Imagine the audacity. I mean, they were infuriated by Jesus doing the work of God. You know, they'd been going through the rituals, doing the roles, making everybody follow their lead. And Jesus comes along, and things really start happening. And Jesus says in this conversation, if one of you can convict me of sin, come on. And they can't, okay? The only thing ultimately that they can get him on is claiming to be God, which is not a problem if he's God. Now, it is blasphemy if he's not God, but if that's the only thing you've got on him, you better be careful. Because it's only blasphemy if it's not true. And Jesus says, the reason you won't believe me is because I'm telling you the truth. Oh, do we have a world full of that right now? I mean, there is a longing in the human heart to be religious. Remember Paul in Athens? He says, I see you're a very religious people. You've got all kinds of statues to various gods around here, including one I saw to the unknown God. Let me tell you about the God you don't know. Okay? Why do people continually have to have something to be passionate about? Some belief system that gives a sense of order to this chaotic life. It's because we were made for that. But there's only one who can satisfy. There's only one who can really meet your need. There's only one who's really worthy of worship. And here they were, face to face with the God who created the heavens and the earth. And they absolutely refused to believe. Refused. I mean, it really wasn't a hard math equation. Okay? He restores sight to the blind, cleanses lepers, makes the lame walk. He's even raised some people from the dead. That's God stuff, okay? That's not magic tricks. Miracles are taking place, and Jesus says, that's the Father testifying about me. This is so you'll know who I am, okay? But when Jesus tells them, I am the light of the world, anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. They say, you're testifying about yourself. That's not fair. Jesus says, you don't get it. I mean, they are nitpicking, and they get increasingly nasty. If you look at verse 19, then they asked him, where is your father? Well, you know, some might take that as a little dig about the fact that Joseph was Jesus' stepdad. There was this story floating around about how mom was with child before they got married, and Joseph wasn't the biological father, and so maybe Jesus was not legitimate. Well, that isn't necessarily what they meant in verse 19. Unless you go down to verse 41, where they say, we weren't born of sexual immorality. It sounds a little like they're going after Jesus and that whole virgin birth story, doesn't it? Jesus is talking with them about his Father in heaven, and they are utterly missing the point.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, verse 20, it says, He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one seized Him because His hour had not yet come. Verse 59, so they picked up stones to throw at Him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple. There would be multiple events where people tried to kill Jesus before it was time. But it's not like, they finally got Him when they crucify Him. That was the plan all along. God's plan from the start was that Jesus would die on the cross to pay for our sins. Jesus speaks to them. And even when they want to get Him and try to get Him, they can't because it wasn't His time yet. Jesus tells them one thing after another. It's building toward a crescendo. He says, you are from below, verse 23. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Dear people, understand that is still true today. Those who do not put their trust in Jesus as the Messiah will die in their sins. He is the only one who can set you free. Who are you? They questioned. Verse 25. Exactly what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus told them. I have many things to say and to judge about you, but the one who sent me is true, and what I've heard from Him, these things I tell the world. They didn't know He was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing on my own. The Bible says that one day they will look on Him whom they have pierced and there will be great weeping. Because when you realize what you've done, when you realize we are responsible, we can't blame them. Jesus died to save sinners, and that would be me. I have sinned. I have gone my own way. And it was for my sins that He died. And when you see that, it'll bring you to your knees. Jesus says, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what pleases Him. This would come up again and again in the Gospels, especially in John's Gospel. But Jesus only did what the Father told Him to do. He only said what the Father told Him to say. And that was the reason why He could do what was humanly impossible. As He was saying these things, verse 30, many believed in Him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they said, thank you, that's great news, because we believe in you. Is that what happened? No, you see, this is a kind of superficial faith. Easily offended, ready to turn away at the slightest provocation. When Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're going to know the truth and the truth will set you free. They say, set us free? What are you talking about, set us free? We're free. When Jesus promises them freedom, instead of being filled with hope and gratitude, they are offended. These were the ones who believed in him. And Jesus tells them, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And they said, we are descendants of Abraham and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? And Jesus said, actually, let's forget about Rome. Anyone who sins is a slave to it. And that's the slavery you need to get free from. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave doesn't remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you really will be free. I know you are descendants of Abraham. That was what they told him. We are descendants of Abraham. He says, I know you're descendants of Abraham, but you're trying to kill me because my word has no place among you. I speak what I've seen in the presence of the Father. So then, you do what you have heard from your father. Our father is Abraham, they replied. Okay? If you were Abraham's children, Jesus told them, you'd do what Abraham did. But now, you're trying to kill me. A man who's told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. You're doing what your father does. Verse 42, if God were your father, you'd love me. Because I came from God and I'm here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Echo of John 3:16. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father the devil and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he's a liar and the father of lies. Don't forget that the next time you're tempted to say something that isn't honest. Satan is the father of lies. Verse 45, yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. People will readily embrace a lie, but they're very resistant to the truth. Jesus said in verse 51, truly I tell you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. They said in verse 52, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died and so did the prophets. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? Who do you claim to be? I told you it's building to a crescendo. Jesus responds. And the climax is verse 58. Jesus said to them, truly, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. He wasn't having a problem with his grammar here. Jesus took the name of God, the ineffable name, I am, and he applied it to himself. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And at that, they picked up stones to throw at him. He is claiming to be God. When he was saying he was the Son of God, we were offended because if you claim to be the Son of God, you're making yourself to be equal with God. Jesus here says, pulling back the curtain, I'm God. Jesus claimed to be God because Jesus is God. And the whole of John's gospel is pointing us to Jesus and saying, first thing you need to know about this man, he's God. God became a man. And folks, when you and I are tempted to think that Jesus isn't God, that's the voice of the serpent. So, the question in this chapter is, who are you? And the answer is, I am. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.